on this episode of IT AV, how to get AV specific switches into IT and data centers. Also, what does today's AV tech need to know about IT? All that and more next on IT AV.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is IT AV, episode 23, recorded Friday, October 26th, 2018. PEBCAC.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by Kramer, AV Beyond the Box.
This is the IT AV Show, the monthly look at how the IT and the AV industry kind of come together. My name is Tim Albright. I am your host. With us to discuss all things IT and AV, easy for me to say. First and foremost, Mr. Paul Harris from Aurora Multimedia. Welcome, sir.
How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Also with us is my buddy Derek Jonkas from Extron. He's on the East Coast side of Extron, not in Anaheim. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
And last but not least, Mr. Brad Colt from HGA, due north of me in Minneapolis. Welcome, sir.
Hello, Tim and friends. Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. So let's kick this off here. I want to start this one with QSC announcing this, actually this last week, that they are sort of kind of getting into networking. They're providing their own managed switches to their dealers. It's a QSC, QSYS-based switch that it's called the NS series, enterprise-grade, quote-unquote, fully managed 110 gigabit network that are pre-configured to meet the QSC, QSYS performance. Brad, I want to start with you on this, and it's the simplest question I can ask on this. How do we get AV-specific or AV-centric switches into the IT closets or can we?
Sure. So the first thing I want to say is that if you say IT closet to the RCDDs that I work with, they will start pulling their hair out and gnashing their teeth.
All right. What should we call it then? Because that's old school here. I mean, that is what I grew up in the industry calling them. So what are they?
Working with architects, if you ask for a closet, you will get a closet. And we have to fight for every square inch of those IT rooms.
Okay.
Those are data rooms, IT rooms, whatever you want to call them.
Data center. There we go. Data centers.
We like that room terminology. So will we be able to get these switches into the IT rooms? It's something that depends on each client. Certainly we've seen it work well for some clients. And it's always a conversation about whether this is something that's got to go on the IT network that gets segmented or whether this is going to be a separate physical AV network. And if we're looking to try and push more of the video around to different endpoints that are not just in the room anymore, now we really do need to be able to have some of that access to network. And it does make sense being able to push the stuff into those rooms. You know, and then once you're in the room, you also have to have the conversation because all the IT departments we work with require someone to be escorted into those rooms. The IT is not just letting people carte blanche wander into those rooms. They're all card accessed. And so we have to have that conversation, make sure that they have manpower to be able to let somebody stand there while the AV vendor is doing the work they need to do in those spaces. So we definitely see it in many different ways. This is something where best practices are still being figured out. And I don't feel like there is a standard one way of doing this yet.
All right. Derek, same kind of question to you. Derek not only works for Extron now, but he used to be an integrator and an IT professional. So is this something where, you know, to use Brad's terminology, get into the data centers, getting into those data rooms, and does that make sense? And if so, how would an integrator go about doing that?
I think it's going to depend on the client. It's going to depend on the competency, maybe even of the integrator or of the consultants or some of the data architecture that's been decided on a per project basis. I think it also has a lot to do with the skills and competency of the client. You know, to what degree can someone actually own, their own infrastructure? You know, how long can they live with their own projects? And so, you know, you could see where there might be some really specific applications where, you know, a strategy like this might play out really well for someone like QSC. Where they are, by providing this, they're empowering their customers to give them some choices, some ready fit tools that really work well maybe in their applications. And as far as, you know, how do you convince somebody this is a good solution? I think it's all part of the discussion you need to have long before the devices ever show up on site. And I think it's also about having good expectations about what the clients, what the system designers, what the consultants really expect in terms of performance. And this is, might be one way to guarantee it.
Okay. Paul, from a manufacturer standpoint, both you and Derek's company have video over IP solutions. Mm-hmm. Is this something where QSC has gone and you know, obviously purchased switches, you know, from another party and configured them themselves, and then they're offering them to their dealers? Is that something that is going to help both them and possibly other manufacturers to say, look, you know, we've kind of done some of the heavy lifting for the dealers to help propagate QSIS in this example, or, you know, video over IP solutions for other manufacturers?
Oh, I could speak very well to this because we've been doing this for a really long time, and we've even done this, actually. It was partial.
You've sold switches?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I can sell it right now. So what they're doing is nothing new. But I will say this, and this is really what you have to look at with the industry. So I actually agree with both gentlemen. They're both right in what they're saying. But when you actually pick it apart more, here's the reality of what happens. There's a few things going on from a manufacturer's point of view. Manufacturers obviously make money from an entire system solution that they can sell. When you go to AV over IP, you're losing the matrix, and you're now down to nothing but endpoints. So on one hand, you've got a manufacturer trying to substitute out the matrix or the loss of revenue in the matrix itself. But the loss in revenue of the matrix is only part of it. It's also the loss in control over the thing that is the most important to centralize it. So on one hand, while you say, well, this box, whether it's one or 1,000, should pretty much just work across the system because the data is only going to go where it's told to go. The network switch is ultimately what gets it from point A to point B. It's a key to the system. And I've seen firsthand, and I won't name brands, but some brands work a lot better than others. And some brands work great, and then all of a sudden you throw it a curveball. Like, for example, we have the ability to throw Dante at the same time with video. Well, I'm working with a switch brand right now, major brand, and they couldn't handle the Dante through the same port as the video stream. And they had to spend a lot of time figuring out why that was. Now, here, these people have a certain expectation. They're buying your product. There's no reason why it shouldn't work through the switch, because the switch is supposed to be capable, because people look at switches very generically. Well, it's a switch. It's got to just pass data through. No. It's a software stack, and it's only as good as what the code that's running in it is. So if they miss out on something, and it's a very complex animal, this is not something you just turn over to some company that just magically produces this wonderful product. It's a very complex animal.
Yeah.
So that's one part of it. Then you get into another part, which is because I'm looking at the name and I'm trying to remember, it's just on the screen, it says E. Braddock. What's your name again, by the way?
Brad Colt. Yes.
Brad Colt. Thank you. On your screen name, it says E.E. Braddock. So, Brad brought up some interesting points. And this is, the dealers want an out-of-the-box solution. And what happens is, when you're doing an enclosed system on a single switch, you can make life easy for them. Pre-configured, out-of-the-box, ready to work with whatever the capabilities of your system are, you can predetermine that it's going to work well in that circumstance. Where things go a little haywire is on a few levels. And I think Derek brought some of this up also. But where it goes haywire is, one, you can't always have it within one switch. Sometimes you got to cascade. Sometimes you got to break it out. Sometimes you got to do a star typology. Other times you got to do a token ring. This goes on and on. And you don't know how it's going to happen. Are you going to trunk it? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Those different factors affect things. And then the next thing, which actually I believe Brad brought this up, was the customer may not want that brand. I have plenty of customers who, like, I could save them a ton of money if they use this brand. I'll give you a perfect example. I'll say Huawei, okay? Now some people go, Huawei, oh my God, they were on the government's list of whatever. Let me tell you something. The switches actually work nice, and if it's a closed system, who cares? Even if it had spyware.
There's a reason they're on the government's list. Paul, I mean, come on.
Well, hold on. I'm just giving an example here. It's not meant to.
No, I know. But there are legitimate reasons, and people get stuck on brands, and there's brand loyalty.
Correct.
You benefit from brand loyalty. You know, Derek benefits from brand loyalty. I absolutely get that. And that's kind of why I was asking the question, is because you've got folks who are absolutely a Cisco house or absolutely a
correct
Dell house. How do you get your switches or QSC switches or whoever switches into those data centers then?
Well, this is the problem, and this has been, and this is where I was going with the example, actually. It wasn't just because it was Huawei and the government's list. I was just giving an example. What they're not understanding is, okay, there's a difference between an isolated system that is not on their network, that never has to even touch their network, where at one point when we called it the XYZ brand matrix, when it was just a matrix, okay. Let's take an HD-based T-matrix for this example. It's all CAT cables. They're all going to technically a switch, whether it's an Ethernet or whatever, and it's moving data around. So why should it be treated any different if you're not putting it on their main network, local to the room, whether it's an 8-port, a 16-port, whatever, and you're just using it as the glue logic to the system, why should it really matter? And one of the things that I actually found was they don't want to have that understanding at all. Where I've had systems where, school systems, for example, where we're telling them, no, we're just putting in this little 8-port switch that just glued the wall plate with the box, and that's all it's doing, and it's not even going onto your network. We don't even have to connect it to your network. Like, no, we don't want any network switches. We want nothing network-related on the system, period. And we're like, but it doesn't, you don't have to classify it as network. It's just a glue locally. So there's a lot of education that needs to happen for people to understand what the application is calling for and how it truly affects their system. People automatically assume it has to go on their corporate network, when in actuality, it doesn't. Or personally, I prefer it not to go on it or to be bridged to it so you can isolate and let the dealers have full control over the responsibility of the AV system, including the AV network, separate from what their building corporate level is.
Yeah, absolutely. So Paul, go ahead.
Can I ask you a question, Paul?
Sure.
How are you able to guarantee after we're off the job, after the integrator's off the job, that they're not going to patch that independent, completely separate network into the IT network because there's some other application that now they wanted to be able to do, and we don't know what backdoors we're introducing to their system? I think it's our responsibility to make sure we're keeping them safe from themselves, if that may be the case.
Correct, but this is where their own responsibility comes into play, where that's the key thing. They're in control of their own switch. So they could determine the security or what is let in or let out within their own system based on that particular port. So I'll give you a perfect example. This is a New York City project years ago. The customer insisted on it went on their network, on a Cisco network, as a matter of fact. We told them exactly what they needed to do to set the system up. They then said, your thing's not working. There's something wrong with it. Now realize at that point, we have thousands of these things out there. We know it works, come on, we know you're not setting it up right. So we went out there, we looked at it, it's not set up right. We could tell your jumbo packets are not turned on and blah, blah, blah. Please look at it again. So here's this person insisting they know they're Cisco, they've been Cisco certified, they've done all their training and they're doing it. So we make a second trip out there. Same thing, guys, you're not setting this thing up right. Well, let's just say by the third trip, we went out, we bought the same exact Cisco model because we got tired of being blamed for it. We set it up, we brought it out there, we unplugged their cables, plugged it into our switch, the whole thing worked beautiful. And he said, as we said, you did not set it up right. Now realize, they would not let us onto their system to look at what their settings were. That's one of the reasons why I actually don't like it gaining on their system, is because of the fact that once it's in there, probably pretty much almost 10 times out of 10, they don't want you touching it, period. It has to be their expert looking at it, and you're relying on their expert to set it up correctly. And a lot of times they will insist they know exactly what they're doing. Now, I'm not saying there aren't people out there who are really, really good at what they do, but all it takes is one time, and that one example, I wasted so many man hours for somebody insisting that we're at fault here, and I had to go out and buy a switch to prove them wrong of the same model just to make a point because they wouldn't accept the fact. And that's one of the things I'm finding is they're not accepting certain elements of how the AV over IP interacts or works with their system. So one of the things is, and this is something else you see in the industry, you talk about the security talked about a lot. Oh my God, you got to have security, the security, that. At the end of the day, most of the security ends up in the switch itself. It's only as secure as you set up the switch. If it gets further than the switch itself to the outside world, you already blew it at that point. So that's one of the things.
But as manufacturers, and because I'm one of the folks who still say that you need security, I would say that as manufacturers, you still need to make sure that your products are at least on some sort of baseline secure.
Correct. And almost all of them now have AES 128, so they're not really going to get anything out of it.
Actually, this whole conversation leads us into our next one real quickly, and this is from our buddies over at Commercial Integrator. Kelsey Falk is writing about how to hire AV technicians and goes through a list of questions and stuff like that. But that actually brings up what the next story here is. Derek, I want to start with you on this. As folks are hiring and training the next generation and honestly the current generation of technicians who are actually in the field, actually turning these systems on, what do they need to know? I mean, what does today's technician, whether it's a green or it's a top-level tech who's putting these systems in, what do they need to know about the network, about, you know, making sure that systems are secure and running correctly and doing best practices? What is it that they should know?
You know, the funniest part about this question in this article, when I was reading and I was thinking that if I could make a list of all the things we expected our technicians to know, and all the industries, all those skills would cover, it'd be a pretty long list because you have an AV technician and they need to know something about the construction industry, the electrical trade, like high voltage. Yep. They need to understand structure, right? They need to understand looking at everything from plans and designs to being able to interpret, you know, and the nuances of, you know, of the technical nature of the products and the technology they work in. So I look at the technicians in our industry and I kind of give them a big round of applause a lot of the time because, you know, in no other industry can I think of, are you expected to be such a generalist? And then you throw on for me the aspect of what this article is talking about, which is, these are some things you should consider when you're hiring new employees. And I would say absolutely yes, because I think what our AV business needs now more than ever is probably more IT people than AV people. In many ways. And the reason I say that is I can't think of a major product, even the ones we've talked about now, but any major product introduction, it doesn't involve some aspect of trying to incorporate, deploy, design, or be a caretaker for information technology. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but if I was doing the interviewing, like we do a lot of interviewing at Extron, at all different levels, it's just part of what you expect to see nowadays is someone that has kind of proclivity and kind of the you know great experience with some aspect of anything that's data. And the AV part is a bonus, right? If you can understand the application and where these products are applied, that's a bonus. But I think it's tending toward the other side. And the one other comment I have is we tend to polarize AV and IT, but I think for a long time they've been the same thing, you know, so they're just all part of the game. Just like we don't say AVIT and then we don't say, like we were mentioning earlier, Brad was mentioning, you know, his RCGD friends are going to would have a fit, right? If we use the wrong terminology. I see this as just one giant practice now. I don't know if you guys are seeing that as well.
Absolutely. Paul, same kind of question is whether it's your engineers, your techs, or the ones that your dealers are hiring, what do these folks need to know that are in the field?
Well, for us, I mean, right now, they need to definitely know network and understand network typology. I mean, by today's standards, you really got to kind of just understand how these things work on a baseline. I agree with what Derek said. I mean, it's really, whether it's network or some of the technology, HD-based, whatever, it's our job and everybody's job. The technology always changes. Our job, whether you're an IT company or an AV company, is to learn the new technology, period, and to just be constantly educated on it. You gotta constantly have your nose in it. You gotta constantly, you know, one thing about our industry is it never gets boring. There's always something new out there, and there's something you always gotta stay on top of if you wanna be ahead of the curve. Since I've been doing this, It's exhausting at times, but you got to constantly look at what's out there. I mean, Extron, this is a tribute to Extron, they just threw another interesting wrench, which I do actually agree with where they're going with their product. You know, there's everybody's throwing an interesting wrench in it. We do it. Everybody does it. That's the name of the game. But that's one of the things I also love about this industry is everybody does keep it so interesting. Some person comes out with this one day and then, hey, capitalism at its best. You want to keep competitive, you got to do something to answer back at it. Yep. So the thing I tell people more than anything is, I like to hire people, believe it or not, not so much on, it's going to sound weird, not so much on their grades, but on their common sense. To be a good technician requires simple, common sense.
That does not surprise me about you.
So I see so many technicians
that follow. Common sense is not so common, right?
Well, you know what it is? I follow people that are following the guide so hard, and they never get anywhere. And it's kind of like being on a treadmill, but yet you're trying to run across the room. And it's really one of those things where I've been on a lot of calls. You get some guys who are bright as anything, and I'm happy as anything. Like, oh my God, you really do a proper, thorough, you know, process of elimination. And then you get other people on the line. It's like you obviously got to think it to yourself. I'm like, my God, doesn't this guy know basic process of elimination, for example? Sometimes things are just so easy. You don't have to go super technical. I'll give you a perfect example. You don't have to be super technical to be a great technician sometimes, although it's nice and it's an added bonus. There are different levels of technicians that you have to set into the field and set expectations with. But at the end of the day, there's nothing beats a simple process of elimination. If this isn't working, take a similar device, swap it out, see if it's working again. Sometimes the clues are right in front of your face. And I find that people with just simple common sense and just an understanding of process of elimination, those are some of the best techs. They don't have to be super technical, but just the fact that they can isolate out the problem quickly and effectively, it makes them a fantastic asset.
Yeah, absolutely. Derek's right. Common sense is not so common. Brad, I want to bring you in and kind of let you anchor this. As a consultant, as somebody who writes up specs and you know, you can kind of lay out exactly the type of people that you want on your jobs, what are you asking for? What are you looking for?
Yeah, we were going to put qualifications into our specifications for the technical requirements, the networking capabilities, the Microsoft certifications, those things that help provide that baseline for just assuring quality. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the techs are going to have all the knowledge that they need to be able to deliver things. There's definitely, it's going to be an ongoing lifelong learning process for everybody in any technology sector. Tim, I kind of wanted to take you in a little bit of a different direction than the technical side of it, and I'm thinking a little more about the soft skills that are going to be needed and making sure that the techs understand the chain of command, because there are times that they're going to be interfacing with people who are higher up in the IT or in the rest of the companies they're working for. And, you know, just the presentability, because the IT department is hiring these AV companies a lot more of the time. They're the customer for the integrator, and they have their own internal customers at the company. So as these AV techs are in their spaces working on things, the IT department wants that assurance that they're going to be professional and presenting themselves around the IT customers in a way that they feel comfortable that they're projecting they hired the right people, and that you know, as they're a reflection on the IT company. You know, and then the other part of it is, I think that's something that's probably more applicable to the greener techs. You know, we see a lot of those seasoned techs have a lot more of those soft skills, right? But then you also get those old rockers turned AV tech that still may need a little bit of that coaching and bringing them up to that same level of professionalism. You know, but then the other part of it is on the IT side, understanding that terminology well enough. You don't need to be an IT expert to be able to interface with the IT department. I think it's important not to see them as the department of no and not wanting to talk to them. You have to be open to having that conversation and recognize it's okay if I don't know everything, but you should at least know when they're making fun of you and be able to know some of the terminology, you know, the PEPCAC, problem exists between chair and keyboard. You got to be able to have some of the lingo so you can at least be fraternal with these folks and just be able to have some sort of friendly relationship. But you know, they really don't like seeing rogue access points. It's not something where we can just work in a vacuum and say, I'm not going to talk to them because it's difficult. It's uncomfortable. We need to forge those relationships. And yeah, I think especially as we stop thinking about AV myopically and look at us as being one part of an intelligent building ecosystem, it's going to be important for us to know how to talk with people outside of our own discipline. So this is something we're all going to have to practice. We'll have to be more comfortable with, because no one company is going to build that intelligent building. We need to learn how to collaborate with other experts. And so we've got to be a little outside of our comfort zone and just get used to it. That's going to be the fact of the way things are going to go. We're going to have to learn from each other and figure out what their terminology is, what their needs are, how we're interfacing technically and professionally.
All right. That'll be a good place to stop it, gentlemen. Thank you guys so much. Mr. Derek Jonkis from Extron, thank you, sir. How do people find you and or Extron?
Well, this is the Extron website for various training events. Email is djonkis@extron.com.
Very good. Mr. Harris, thank you, sir. How do people find you or Aurora Multimedia?
They find us at auroramm.com. So that's simple.
All right. You can find him there as well. And Mr. Brad Cult, thank you, sir. How do people find you or HGA?
If you could find me on LinkedIn, Brad Cult, K-U-L-T, and HGA, come by our newly redesigned website, hga.com, or follow us on the Twitters or the LinkedIn or all these social medias, HGA, at HGA, whatever.
At HGA is their Twitter handle. My name is Tim Albright. Don't follow me on the Twitters. You probably won't like what you read. Go by the website, if you would, please, avnation.tv, avnation.tv. You'll find this program and a host of others, including our two weeklies, AV Week, which posts every Monday, and Resi Week, which posts every Wednesday. Also, while you're there, check out our underwriter section. These are the folks who help us financially, help us bring you Cedia and Infocom and New York Digital Signage Week and ISE actually coming up in a couple months. So, and Extron is one of those. Thank them for their support. So all that and more at avnation.tv, avnation.tv. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. That is all the time we have for IT AV.